Hello and welcome to episode part two of episode three. Ooh, we said that simultaneously.
Yes, it's a mouthful though.
I began the last
just like the
podcast.
Sandwiches we just finished.
Yeah, we just finished some sandwiches. Matt and Beth are wearing.
Adam didn't finish the sandwich. He didn't eat his crust.
Covers. No, I didn't. So I should have some tomato left too. If you want some tomato.
But anyways, our podcast.
We're starving people in Africa, Adam. I've seen them.
Yeah. I know, but the salads are usually the most full of malaria. Okay.
We finished off in Dogon Country. We just talked about the baboon hunt, and then our food came. We went baboon hunting.
What else happened in Dogon Country? Let's look at the piece of paper that says things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Obama won the presidency while we were in a small African village, which is pretty cool.
And a text message from Canada came through to your dad, from your mom, to inform us of the world-breaking news.
Yeah.
It was very weird being in such a remote place and receiving such up-to-date news.
Yeah.
Not from CNN.
But from text messages.
Yes. Technology is amazing.
That's really...
It's funny that we're talking about technology because Rufus left Dogon Country a day early so that he could go to the town and watch the election live because he really wanted to watch it. And
He had personal issues.
And
he was one of the people that was driving us crazy on this trip.
He was the organizer.
He's not an American. He's this little,
Cretin.
Weaselly British guy.
He's a dick ass.
He was the best dick ass. Anyways, he was just like this wienery guy who,
he was in charge of the trip, and at this point he got an important email so that when a day and a half later when we left Dogon Country and we drove to Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso.
Yep.
We went out for dinner and we came back and Rufus had left the trip. The person who was running the trip left.
Yep. He went to Russia.
Because
he went to Siberia.
Here's gossip. This is going to be an internet gossip. this is really invasion of his privacy, but he stole all of our money. So here we go. Rufus went back to... Okay, I love this because it gets worse and worse with everything you say. Rufus von Hagen.
No, we shouldn't say it.
I'll bleep out his last name.
Yeah.
Okay. The guy who's avoiding British law because he owes £10,000, apparently.
That's hearsay.
That's hearsay. He went back to Russia because he impregnated a girl who is 21 years old and he's, 35?
37 years older.
And she's going to keep the baby.
And
he's
in the army.
Yeah, the fiance is in the army. What a bad situation. So that's why he left.
His brother in charge of the bus. And, we spent a day and a half in Ouagadougou, which was really cool because every 2 years they have the African Arts Festival. And the alternating 2 years they do the film festival. So it's like a real cultural center. And we just happened to show up during one of the festivals, which was the Siao.
Sounds Japanese, but it's not.
S-I-A-O.
Yeah, it's like this music festival that had one ride.
It's just a cultural arts festival,
But the best thing about that was we met this little... I thought it was a midget. I swear to God, I thought it was a midget.
Because he was so smart.
This guy Daniel. Yeah, this kid Daniel. He was 10 years old, but he was so intelligent. He was like the Doogie Howser of Burkina Faso, and it wasn't a fictional world.
He was just hanging out with us. We got video of it, which you can check out on our website as well, that you're listening to this from.
The reason I thought he was a midget is because he was, so eloquent, and he would just talk with his hands like an adult would. Like, he had these adult mannerisms when he was, 10. And it was just... I just hope that he lives up to his full potential in Burkina Faso, Africa, because that kid... It's probably a genius.
Yeah, it's just one of those really cool stories that you see of a kid and his dad came over and was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Is he bothering you?" We're like, "No, he's awesome. Your kid's amazing." And we,
taught him a really cool handshake.
Yeah, we got it. We got his email address and his address, and we're gonna send him
the
pictures because he was he loved the camera. He was taking pictures of us and he was doing lots of cool things. And giving your camera to a kid in Africa is a great idea because they take tons and tons of pictures. That happened to us last night at the restaurant.
Camera back.
And then they give you the camera back. Because kids are great in Africa.
Yeah, the biggest highlight of Africa has been the kids. They are so... they're not spoiled like Western
kids.
They're
just so happy.
Yeah, they're happy with, you could give them, a lot of kids just literally play with wheels. Just, discarded scooter wheels.
And they're happy.
Just roll it around. And they're super happy. And
all the kids will come up to you instead of being like, "Oh, can I have money? Can I have money?" They say, "Can I have a pen? Can I have paper? Can I have..."
something good.
I have your shirt. School. Like, they just want to, they don't get those sort of things. And it's just,
so, yeah.
But they're still the happiest kids ever.
And, yeah, and it's the same everywhere you go. Like, the happiest kids you'll see in North America, they'll think the same thing is fun, and they'll react to it in the same way. It's just, you can see that, and it's really sappy of me to say, but it's like, that shows me how much people are the same throughout the whole world.
Yeah.
It's just the kids that are everywhere.
Yeah. So that was definitely the highlight of Ouagadougou. We only spent a day and a half there because we're on a trip to South Africa.
Right.
We were supposed to, we're trying to get down to Cape Town, but around this time is when we also realized that the bus trip was going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And we had a feeling that they were going to sell the bus in Porto Novo, Benin, because that's easier for Barney to do now that Rufus is gone. And basically,
so
he just didn't want to drive the car through Nigeria.
So we drove down to Porto Novo in Benin, and
the bus trip kind of ended. But kind of like the last hurrah of the bus ended up being the national park in the north of Benin. We crossed the border from Burkina Faso and went to Penjari National Park.
We went on a safari.
A safari.
But we didn't see any animals.
No, we did.
We saw hippos.
We saw 33 different creatures by my count. It was one of those things where, like, at the time, it was, we're tired of the bus, so we were hating people on the bus, and Rufus has just left, and we're gonna get our money back, and all this stuff was kind of coming together, and we were just kind of really bitter. And but we rode around on the top of the bus through the whole park pretty much, and that was one of the best things that we
really sunburned on the top of the bus. But that was really fun.
Yeah, we played a game called Grimbo, which is called Group Limbo, because when you're driving in a bus through a forest, branches are just everywhere, like prickle branches, like big
cut
branches.
You guys got big cuts through the front.
I got scars all over my arm.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny. We're just on the roof, and we're like, oh, lean to the right. We'd all like lie down, and the branches would kind of.
I got really, really dirty.
Yeah, we all got really dirty.
Covered in leaves. A tick landed on my arm and bit me, and left a bruise. That was cool.
Yeah. I don't know if
that's
cool.
Yeah, it's covered in tons of bugs. A praying mantis fell on me from, like at 60 kilometers an hour into my face.
Yeah.
That was
awesome. It's just really cool. We did see hippos, which was like one of the big animals that we saw. There's tons of antelopes and deers, and we saw crocodiles and a baboon.
Turns
and
out
a monkey.
Hippos don't actually eat marbles with three other hippos of different colors. Out of a plastic.
Yeah, there was only three hippos in the water, so the whole like premise of Hunger Hippos is kind of over now. Like it's three hippos, not four,
around.
If you're even going to do it.
I've never played Hunger Hippos underwater.
I've never played Hunger Hippos in years.
Do you know what Hunger Hippos is?
I know what it is, but I don't think I've ever played it.
We should play
it. I've
underwater.
Got one at home. We should play.
There you go.
It wasn't that interesting anyway.
Yeah. Hunger Hippos. Good game. That was fun. We got stuck in the mud.
One day.
I got just so fed up with the bus and everybody when we were stuck in the mud, because it was just like,
oh, it took us ages to get out.
I was really, really grumpy at that point. And but then we made it to Porto Novo, and me and Stu were, knowing that the bus was kind of was being sold then, we were like, we tried to go look for scooters, and we were thinking about riding Vespas as far as we could through Africa, and like, they're really cheap. But in the end, we didn't do it. My dad went home, and it was really sad. It was really sad to see my dad go.
It was kind of a really bittersweet ending to the trip.
Because we got rid of the Americans.
We got rid of the Americans, but we really wanted to go to Cape Town. Like, we wanted to go down the coast. We were really excited to make the whole journey, but it didn't work out. And instead of going through Nigeria, because going without the bus would have been a lot harder, we would have to get visas, we had to like do a whole bunch of stuff. So we just went to Togo.
Oh, yeah.
But on the way to Togo, we were like, because the Americans were going the same direction as us, so we're like, we need to kind of stop in a few towns and so we can avoid them. So we went to Ouida for a night, which is the home of voodoo.
And we still managed to bump into them.
Yeah, we still bumped into them there. And again in Accra, but that's...
Shh! I'm trying to block that out.
I know. But yeah, the voodoo town of Ouida is awesome.
We were there on a full moon, and we went to see like this really cool voodoo festival.
Yeah, voodoo doesn't mean what I always thought it meant, like, because I just thought of it as like this kind of evil connotation and stuff. But it's
an actual religion.
It is a religion.
And while we were there, like, we saw the festival the first day, and the second day we met the chief of voodoo.
He looked like Puff Daddy.
Yeah, he was just as big.
He looked like the Island of Dr. Moreau. He had like the same outfit as the guy from Island of Dr. Moreau, with his big hat, and he just sort of sat down there with being like, I'm the chief of voodoo. But he was super nice, and he answered
He's the Pope
questions.
Of the voodoo religion.
Yeah. I don't know, there's other chiefs, he said.
Yeah, but he's like the head chief. He's like the Pope.
For reals?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's in Ouida, which is a center.
That's why it was such a big deal that we met him.
And that was also like where there's this big gate that went under the ocean from there.
It was one of the main points in Africa where slaves were taken, and they have this whole 3 kilometer. It was a 300 kilometer trail or something, and they kind of just preserved the last 3 kilometers of it. They set up monuments along the way, and you can go see like a bunch of the points. And it was like really surreal because we hired this local guide who was really cool, and he took us for this walk, and
he was
told
awesome.
Us all the history of, you know, the different spots and the meanings of the trees and different things. And
Remy.
Remy. He walked us all the way to the beach where they've erected the big gate of no return, and then on the other side it's the gate of return, basically, and it's kind of like the symbolic representation. Yeah. And it was a really surreal kind of moment, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a cool place. I liked that. And yeah, the night before we did all that like walk and stuff and went through the voodoo forest and all that stuff.
Saw a baboon in a cage.
What's that?
Oh yeah, a baboon in the cage.
We rode on the back of motorcycles to this festival dance thing. It's like voodoo dance, which was incredible.
It was crazy.
And they
it's really good.
They kind of forced me to drink this like 50, you know, alcohol content per liter booze that just almost killed me. And, yeah, this insane dancing. This guy in this, like, big circular cloak, and he would, like, spin around in it. He looked like one of those, like, flying things from, like, level 2 in Mario 2. You know what I'm talking about? The little heads on the little on the little blankets, and they would fly around. You could pick up its head, and then you could, like, drive around on the thing. It looked like that. Anyways, nerd reference.
Very obscure.
But, yeah, and we went past a baboon in a cage on a... On the back of a motorcycle.
The baboon
wasn't
on a motorcycle.
No,
he wasn't on a motorcycle. He was in a cage on the side of the road, clutching the bars of his hands and looking out like a little prisoner.
Yeah.
It was cute, but really,
really
kind
sad.
Of sad. It was sad, but adorable.
Yeah. So anyways, from there we went just a little bit further down. We figured the town looked like a good place on the map, had beaches and stuff. It's called Grand Popo, and it was probably the most chilled out place I've been.
You see, really,
it was amazing.
No, we were there for 3 days, 4 nights, or something.
Yeah.
No, 4 days, 3 nights.
A Rastafarian bar called the Lion Bar, and it was the most Rastafarian thing I've ever seen. And like, it was like during the day, if you wanted to order a pop, you'd have to go wake up the guy that was sleeping in the shade of a palm tree. Like, can I get a pop? And he would sort of look around like, what? Okay. And we had these crazy cocktails all night. And
yeah. The Lion Bar is a great place to go drinking in Grand Popo if you're ever there.
Yeah, go to the Lion
if
Bar.
If you happen to be in the neighborhood.
That place is radical. And after we were there, we went through a long process of getting into... Well, no, that wasn't the long process.
That wasn't too bad.
Going into Togo was pretty easy, cause, although we had to get new visas because the ones going into... Was it when we went?
When we came from Burkina Faso, they'd run out of visas, so they're just like, just go here, take the stamp, and go.
We paid, we paid for those, and then we had to pay for them again, basically.
Yeah, we paid for 2-day transit visas on our way out of a country
because a border crossing ran out of the most important document possible that they needed. But yeah, we went into Togo. We went to Lomé for a couple of days.
2 or 3 days.
I saw a dead goat wash up onto a beach.
Yeah.
Someone died in our bedroom.
It's not a real touristy destination, I don't think. It's.
Were you there when they died?
No, we got to the bedroom.
There was blood on the sheets.
And there was blood all over the sheets, and it smelled really bad. And there were mice droppings and mice everywhere. And the fan didn't work, so it was really hot.
Yeah. Well, we did have a fun game that we played there. We had a really good fan in our room.
That was not a fun game, Adam.
We were throwing objects into a fan. If you ever had a chance to do this, people, if you have a fan, an overhead fan in a room, and you've got a bunch of, like,
socks. Socks are the best.
Socks are great. Just toss it in the fan, and it'll just launch the sock into the wall. But we were throwing, like, big things, like books and
nail clippers. That was my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that was dangerous.
Nail clippers was a bad idea.
I missed that one.
Yeah, you did.
I'm glad.
Actually, you didn't miss
every
anything.
Every object that was around us.
That was scary. The sweatshirts were funny because they'd be like, "Woo!" Slow down the fan completely, and then
I put bug spray in there. The bug spray, I was like, "Oh, it'd be so awesome if it just exploded and everything was bug proof," but it just broke the spritzer part of the bug spray. Anyways, that's a fun game.
So that was our time in Togo. Unfortunately, we were just kind of passing through and got our visas for Ghana and came to Ghana, which has been where we've been for the last 2 weeks, almost probably 10 or 11 days.
Accra was kind of
bittersweet because we were like, it was a great big city. It was a cool you know, vibe. Everyone was pretty good, but there wasn't really too much to do. We had a bunch of days where we had to, like, we were going to get visa or passports renewed, and we had to wait, and we had to go check out flights and all this other stuff. So we were pretty occupied with a bunch of stuff. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of,
I don't know.
A necessary stop, but, you know, we kind of sorted our stuff out. And
then we went to another small town that really nothing much happened. We did go see was it the Palace?
Yeah, this is in Kumasi,
yeah,
which is, it was a really pretty cool city. There's a big market.
Getting
but
up there was kind of interesting. We took a big, giant, you know, bus, charter bus kind of thing, and the whole time they just played this really loud, really bad series of movies made in Africa. And the acting was all right. The acting's pretty good.
The stories were just atrocious.
The music!
Really bad film.
Yeah. It was the same
really
song.
Bad.
They had maybe a song or two for each movie because I guess that's all they could afford. And
yeah, it was always
so
the same.
They'd repeat the same song for the whole, like,
song.
First half of the movie, and then, like, halfway through, something would happen, and you'd be like, we can use our second song. All right,
honestly,
there you go.
If anyone out there is a composer, please write a score or 5 or 17 for movies in Africa, because if, like, I don't want to hear the same dreary, melancholy tune in the background of a really bad movie. Although, it was like a Nigerian film, and it was like a big soap opera, and these guys got really, really into it.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Had part 1 and 2 of this movie, and they didn't play part 3.
And there's a movie that I really want to see. If you guys can download this, and like, or else if you find it somewhere on the internet, send a link. It's called Demon in Law. It's a movie. I saw a trailer for it on that bus, and it was like this
really
like angry mother-in-law who is like, in the movie's called Demon-in-Law, and
she like set fire to things, and it's just like really dramatic.
Telekinetic.
The trailers were the
like
best.
Yeah, that was the best part of the movies was the trailers.
It was so good.
Rachel.
Freaking douchebag.
So yeah, we were here in Ghana. And
this is, we came here after Kumasi just to relax for a couple days while we, you know, say goodbye to Adam and really just kind of take the edge off, I guess. And we're gonna travel along the coast for the next week and check out some other towns. Adam's going back to New York City.
Yep. I've got a one-way ticket to New York City and nothing else.
And that's a good segue for the American commentary here,
yeah,
which we've all been kind of pent up about.
I don't hate all Americans, of course,
I just
because I'm
three
technically
of them.
One of them. I have a passport, an American passport now.
Yeah.
Never lived in America before, but these three Americans we were saying before were awful.
They were the lowlight of the bus trip.
Let's start with the better ones, just to...
Which better ones?
Okay, they're all horrible.
We all hated different people in different ways.
Yes.
There, first off, there was a guy named Jim, who was just...
a nub.
Yeah, he was from Littleton, Colorado, and he was with his wife, and they were both, you know, what, 24, 25?
Yeah.
26. And he was just like, he would rarely say anything, but when he did, it would be like...
Just kind of off. You're just like, what?
Yeah.
Why would
he
say it like that?
Quoted as saying... because you don't need a passport to go into
Mexico.
Mexico from the States. Technically, Mexico is a part of America. I'm like, that's kind of dumb. So I would say technically, America is a part of Canada because I don't need a passport to go there.
Yeah.
He would say like weird,
we do when we get back.
Nationalistic things, and he was just always, he was just rude, and he just
swore a lot.
He would just give people the cold shoulder.
His favorite
word
was fuck.
Yeah, he said fuck a lot.
Sorry about that, Mr. Sweatman, but that was not dropping an F-bomb, that was stating a fact.
Yeah, he was just...
Most of the swear words we use in this portion will be quotes.
I like to say that, like, and he was just uninteresting. He was him and his wife are the most boring people alive.
Yeah.
And he told us off. He kept telling us off.
I know. I described Jim as a room temperature bowl of rice. And his
slightly
wife,
undercooked.
And,
a dog weed on.
That a dog weed on.
Wow,
and
that's really bad. That's
and his
really
wife,
getting down
Mindy,
to
flavor.
His wife,
yeah.
Mindy, was a room temperature glass of tap water.
Because she constantly had to pee while we're driving across Africa.
Every 20
every
minutes.
Hour,
she
would
like,
I have to
be
pee
like,
now.
I'm
I've been
sick.
Bitching about it for 20 minutes.
She wasn't
but
sick.
She did have food poisoning 5 years ago, though.
Yeah, that was my favorite quote of hers. We were like, hey, we were offering her some food. Like, you want some of our bread? And she's like, I can't eat anything that's, like, bought off the street here because I had food poisoning 5 years ago, and I gotta really be careful. I'm like, is food poisoning last 5 years? I don't think it does. It's because they don't have healthcare in America, so she's
and she's very
self-diagnosed all these sicknesses. Like,
she's the only person I met that won't change her name to her husband's name because she doesn't want to buy a new passport or pay for the form.
Yeah,
she's
they
the
were very
cheapest
cheap
person I've ever met in my life.
Yeah,
and we think they may have been stealing our water.
Yeah,
they definitely stole.
They were stealing our water. It's a fact.
She always
it's
had this kind of like
on the internet now
Mona Lisa frown on her face. Always, like this I'm a wounded mouse. You know, it's just like. She's just
sorry for me. The one thing that really pissed me off is one day she was in Nuwakchuk. She was sick for a couple days, and I was like, okay, well, I don't hate them yet. And then I walked by her, and I said, oh, are you feeling any better? And she turns to me and says, you just want more space on the bus. And I was like, wow, that was the most opposite comment I would have expected.
If I'm sick, I guess I have to go home. Like, I wish to God she went home.
Yeah, but she didn't. They made it all the way to Puerto
Rico. But the worst American that was with us was a girl named Rachel.
From Boston.
Boston. She had this really, loud, obnoxious, overbearing, herself girl who just all she would do is talk about, like, sex and it was just, like,
dirty
in a really
jokes
crude way. But she was, like, a born-again Christian. So she'd say,
found God at 13.
Oh, my fucking gosh, what a fucking douchebag. But she wouldn't say God because that would be horrible.
Blasphemy.
But she'll still say, you're such a cock. All the time, and like, oh my god, with her Boston accent.
The best was when she said, oh my god, that donkey's being such a douchebag.
She didn't say god, though. She said gosh.
My favorite quote of hers is when she would go up to people and they would try to talk to her, and she'd just say, no French, no French.
She was in a French-speaking part of the world for almost
she's
2 months.
She's taught in 20-odd countries.
Didn't learn how to say, I don't speak French, I'm
on
sorry.
On the last day that she knew that her little, her little fuck buddy was going away, that was speaking all the French for her. As soon as she knew that he was leaving, she's like,
the last day on her way to Porto Novo,
teach me some French. How do you say one? How do you say two? Like, she knew nothing.
They're like,
how do you say hello?
How do you say where's the bathroom? Like, how do you say this? And we're like, holy crap, like, I can't believe that you haven't figured this out after so much time traveling. But Porto Novo was bittersweet because John left, but so did the Americans. And it was a 3-to-1 ratio. And John was pretty good, but they were so horrible. It was like the best thing that ever happened was getting rid of them.
Yeah, maybe we should wrap this all up with a little positivity.
Yeah,
it was wonderful that we got rid of these people we hated.
Yeah, there we go. But, I mean, that was just something we dealt with for the whole trip through Africa, and it was just kind of like this back thing. We just tried to ignore it, and we, enjoyed the most we could, but being on the bus was really shitty.
Good bus.
Yeah.
We drove
if there's
past
anybody
a lot of stuff
that's listening to this from Boston, and you're a nice person, or you happen to know
get
somebody
in touch
that's a nice person from Boston, I'd really like to get to know them, because I kind of hate the entire city of Boston now.
Except for the band Boston, they are awesome.
And the cast of Cheers.
Yeah.
They're all right.
They're probably not even from Boston.
No. Well, Fraser was from Seattle, right?
That's true. So. Well, he moved to Seattle after.
Well, wasn't he originally from Seattle?
Probably.
Because, like, his dad lived there with him and stuff, and he was a cop there.
That makes sense.
Yeah. We should get into a big, long discussion about the cast of Cheers.
I don't think we should.
At a later
no?
time.
No.
I don't think we
We're
should.
In
that.
Right. We
so, this is really a little preempt to our next podcast, which will be Fans of Cheers. So, it's going to be a call-in show. You just talk about how much you love Cheers and Fraser. Or Frazier.
I would totally bag Rebecca.
She was... Wait, which one?
Rebecca.
Rebecca was the wife of Frazier?
No.
Oh, no.
His wife was horrid looking.
Anyways, we're talking about
Here's
Frazier.
The alley?
This is ridiculous. We're in Africa still. We're not in Boston.
Thank gosh.
Yeah, don't thank gosh that we're not in Boston.
So anyways, this is pretty much where we wrap it up.
So thank you guys for listening, and hopefully this wasn't... I didn't get too negative in this, and you're like, oh, that's someone else who's a negative talking guy. But I am quite happy. Everyone here is. It's been a really, really good trip, and thank you all for your interest in our travels.
Right. Since we haven't mentioned it on this podcast yet, Will, I hope you're dead, and I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Will.